Father, I want to thank you for this morning, and I know we've had a lot going on. Thank you for Joel being here, and it wasn't mentioned, but Dawn is with us as well, and maybe she'll have a chance to just share something during the Sunday school time, and I just praise you for her and John's many years of ministry and the part that Central had in their lives, and thank you that she was able to be here even this morning to see Joel and to hear him to share. Thank you for last night and for the men and the women that were here, the children, part of the sportsman's banquet, a way to reach out and to minister to those in our area. And I really appreciate all the work that went into that and the great time that we had last night. But this morning we want to just calm our hearts and minds to look into your word for guidance and direction, and that the message that you had for John there to encourage him and the churches would be an encouragement and a blessing to us. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. All of us know, and all of us have heard, and all of us have wondered, is the end near? And we see radicals on this, but have you just stopped to think about what was in the news this past week? You know, Russia tests a new anti-missile system amid NATO tensions. China says a new stealth fighter has been put into combat. We're worried about the stock market. Israeli jet was shot down. School massacre in Florida. Christian persecution that takes place every month. 255 Christians are killed. 104 Christians are abducted. 180 Christian women are raped and sexually harassed. 66 churches are attacked. Every month this is taking place. And the world is a mess. And John writes the book of Revelation. And whether you knew this or not, the world was a mess when John wrote this book. And so I asked the question. The book of Revelation is one of those books that just perks our interest. And we want to know the details. We want to know every little minute secret. We want to know all the ideas and thoughts behind the symbolism. And we want to know how the newspaper fits the book of Revelation. But I assure you that when John had this revelation, and the revelation wasn't a revelation of the end times, it was the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it talked about the second coming. But it was a revelation of who he is. That not to forget who this one was and is to come. And John is discouraged. He was one of those 12 that walked the streets with Jesus, that saw the miraculous and heard the message and witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He can remember Jesus even saying that some of you may be living. This generation shall not pass until the coming of the Son. John with Peter. Peter was being told by Jesus and said, Peter, I want you to know that you're going to suffer much like what I have suffered. And Peter is hearing this and he turns and he says, well, what about him? Pointing to John. And Jesus said, Peter, in a sense, if I can paraphrase, that's none of your business. But if I was to wish that he would to live until I come again, that has nothing to do with you. John understood at that point that Jesus wasn't promising that he would live until the second coming. But this is in his mind. And a lot has happened. Tertullian, one of the early church fathers, tells us that John, he lists some of the ways that, not ways, but tells us that the apostles had died, and all of them had died at this particular point. And John was thrown into, tradition tells us, John was thrown into a boiling pot of oil and unharmed. And then they took this old man and exiled him to a barren island where nothing grew, where he was forced as a slave to work in the mines. What did this guy need to hear? Put yourself in his shoes. Over 60 years had passed since the resurrection and the promise of Christ's return. You think about that. How old was John when he was Jesus' disciple? I mean, he was probably the youngest, but even if we put him at 20, He's in his 80s now. He's 80 years old and older. He's being forced to work in the mines as a slave. All the other apostles have been killed. All of them have been martyred for their faith, even his brother James. Christians are being persecuted. False teaching has crept into the churches, as we're going to see as we go into the letters of the seven churches. Leon Morris says, the church continued to be a tiny little group, doubtless adding a few members from time to time, but much different than what we read in the beginning of the book of Acts. Christianity just exploded at first and impacting the world. But now 60 years have gone by. He goes on to say, but not becoming, nor looking like becoming, a mighty force to take over the Roman Empire. The empire continued on its wicked way. Oppression and wrong abounded. Evil men prospered. Idolaters persisted because they would not conform. The tiny band of Christians found themselves the object of suspicion and sometimes outright persecution. What had become the message which was induced them to become Christians in the first place? Where was the promise of his coming? All things continued as they were from the foundation of the world. If God was active in the world, it demanded a very strong faith to perceive it. What was it that John needed to hear? Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Revelation. An old man, probably unable to do all that was required of him on the island of Patmos. He watched his brother and all the other apostles killed for their faith. He was thrown into a boiling pot of oil. Maybe at this particular point, maybe he would have wished he would have died. Nothing seems to be going as what he maybe had dreamed of and planned. And he's on this barren island, not knowing what tomorrow's going to bring. And the Lord Jesus shows up. I'm going to read the first 8 verses. You follow with me. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by the angel to the servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads, those who hear the words of this prophecy. And keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come. And from the 7 spirits who are before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins with his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds. Every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. What was it that John needed to hear? He needed to be reminded that Jesus is. And you notice we sang this song earlier that said, he was, he is, and he's coming again. But if you look in verse 4 and in verse 8, that has been reversed. In verse 4 and verse 8, it says, he is. He was, and he is to come. But John needed to be reminded that Jesus Christ is right now, in the present time, in all your uncomfortable circumstances. He is still in control. If you were on the island of Patmos, If you would have been thrown into a boiling pot of oil and survived, if you would have heard about all your friends, the other disciples being martyred for the faith, if you would have heard how the false teaching was already creeping into the church and destroying it, you would need to know something. And John needed to be reminded that Jesus Christ still is on the throne. He is in control. And nothing is out of whack here. Tomorrow morning when you read the paper, you listen to the news, and you hear all this stuff, and you wonder about tomorrow, don't you forget, he is. He was, but he still is. And he is to come. He is not out of control, nor is the world out of control. And he is very much in control. And John needed to hear that. I would have needed to hear it too. You know, it doesn't take a whole lot to mess my world up. All my wife has to say is, the washing machine just spilled all over the floor. John needed to hear something. I think deep down in his heart, he was hoping to see the return of Christ. And it hasn't happened. And the world's fallen apart. And as an old man, he's not able to sit in his recliner and click the remote control and just enjoy the last few years. He's a slave. On a barren island, working with other slaves, mining. He needed to be reminded, Jesus still is in control. And as we go through this book, that's what I want us to see. I want us to be able to see the hope that's found in this book, because that first century church, those early believers, had seen a lot happen in their time. And like I said earlier, when the book of Acts, when Pentecost came and the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the church just broke out in mass. Thousands added daily. And now 60 years have gone by. It's a little different. Some of those churches that were started by the Apostle Paul and others that were vibrant, that were excited, that had forsaken so much, who had given up so much, are now becoming lukewarm. They're not on their guard. They're allowing anything and anyone to come in and to teach anything. And John is wondering, what in the world is going on? The world is falling apart. Where is this Savior? A lot of people wondering that today too, aren't they? Don't forget what Peter said. Peter said in the last days, there's going to be a lot of scoffers. You Christians, you've always said Jesus was coming back. Just look at everything. Everything's continuing as it always was. What did John need to hear? I am he who is. I'm still in control, John. Don't you let your little world's circumstances to make you wonder whether or not I am. And I find that exciting as I think about the book of Revelation. And we want to find that same hope. So while we're looking on their day and what they're dealing with in their life and how in the world this book could ever be a blessing to them, we're going to try to draw from that. But at the same time, we know that it's one who looks ahead. So I'm really looking forward to this, because I need to be reminded that he is. You know, the New Testament just filled with reminders. And so we're reminded here that he is the one who is. In John 8:58, we are told he was before Abraham. Jesus said, listen, I want you to understand something. Before Abraham was, I am. Moses says, God, who are you that I may be able to go back and tell the Israelites who it is that's talking to me? And God said, you tell them that I am has sent you. And Jesus says, I want you to know, before Abraham was, who was before Moses, I am. He is, he was, and he is to come. In the Gospel of John, we're told that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. Jesus Christ was 100% human being, but not only was he 100% human being, he was the God-man. He was God in the flesh. I am. I am he who is, who was, and is to come. In Colossians, we're told that he created everything. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Who in the world is God? It was Christ drawing or creating all things, and he is holding all things together as well today. And John needed to hear that also. He's still in control, very much in control. Hebrews says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The one who raised people from the dead, the one who could feed thousands from a little boy's sack lunch, the one who was in control of his day is still in control today. And John needed to be reminded of that. Each of us need to be reminded of that. You know, when that shooting took place in Florida this past week, it seems to be more and more common. You wonder, what in the world is going on here? What has happened to our country? And we hear all the different things that are happening in the world. And some of us want to crawl into our little shell and say, Lord Jesus, come quickly, get me out of here. I think maybe John felt like that. Here I am, an old man. I've sacrificed so much. He is one of those who left his occupation to follow Jesus. He gave it up. He walked away from it. And how is he rewarded? 60 years later, on a barren island, a slave, forced to work in the mines. That's how God rewards his faithful saints. He needed a message. He needed to be encouraged. He needed to know that in the midst of his suffering, in the midst of his hardship, in the midst of his tribulation, in the midst of all of this, he needed to be reminded that Jesus still is. He needed to learn to walk by faith, didn't he? He needed to be reminded that you don't look at the circumstances around you. God still is in control. No, I don't always understand why things happen the way they happen. I don't think John understood that either. But God is. And so twice in the first 8 verses, we read it backwards or mixed up. Jesus says, I am he who is and was, and I am he to come. Don't you give up on me now, John. Don't you give up on me now, John. There's a message that needs to go out into this world in the midst of all this chaos. There are churches that are falling apart, and they need to be reminded that I am he who still is. And I am yet to come. So John, you get your pen and paper out, and you write down every little detail, because I want the world to know that I still am in control, even though the world looks like it's falling apart. There are 7 Beatitudes that we find in the book of Revelation. Remember the Beatitudes? We went through those not that long ago, and the Gospel of Matthew, and we're told that blessed is he that is, and we know that that means more than just blessed. It means that there's peace, there's commitment, there's confidence, there's happiness, there's fulfillment in knowing that God is very much in control. And there are 7 of those found in the book of Revelation, and the first one's right here. Blessed is he who reads, who hears, and keeps the things that are in it. This is the only book that gives us kind of a promise. It's one of those obscure books that we wonder about all the details, and God says, maybe you don't need to understand all the details, but I want you to know you will be blessed. If you take the time to read and to hear and to do the things that are found in this book. In chapter 14, it says, I heard the voice of from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors for the works to follow them. We're going to find out in this book that Jesus is saying there's going to be a lot of individual believers who are going to have to die. They're going to be martyred. They're going to be killed for their faith. And the message we hear is, they, blessed are those who are yet to die for their faith. In 16, chapter 16, it said, behold, I come like a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his clothes so he doesn't walk naked. And he's not talking literally here, that we keep our clothes on. Brenda had an aunt that took this literally, and she hated to take a shower. She never wanted to be naked. And it has nothing to do with it here. It has the idea of keeping your godliness, living a life in readiness for Christ to return. That we don't, when he comes, he doesn't find us lackadaisical, just kind of carefree about the things of God. And we are so concerned about the things of this world that we have no real time for him. He says, blessed are those who take this serious and keep their clothes on. In chapter 19, he says, he said to me, right, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's going to be a celebration in the future. One day this is all going to come to an end. One day this is all going to make sense. And one day there is going to be a feast of celebration for all of those who have come to know Christ, who live for him and honor him and glorify him. There's going to be a huge celebration. And what a blessed time for all of those who are able to partake in that. In Revelation 20, we're told, blessed and holy is he who has part of the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him 1,000 years. Someday, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is going to set up a kingdom here on this earth and reign for 1,000 years. And some of us can have a part in that. And John said, blessed are they. In Revelation 22, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. It starts out by saying, blessed if you hear it, read it, and obey it. And now he's saying, there's a blessing for all of you who keep the words of this book. And then the last one, and also in chapter 22, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter into the gates, into the city. This book may be filled with challenges. There are going to be times I'm going to be scratching my head trying to figure out how to present all of this stuff. But nevertheless, God says, I want you to know this book is filled with blessing. It's given to a man who's wondering what in the world is happening. It's given at a time when the seven churches, which typically churches of all time, all over, who are compromising, who are giving in to false teaching and false doctrine. And it's a book that says, just stop for a moment, folks. It may look like it's out of control, but I want you to know it is not. God hasn't changed. Everything is right on schedule. And everything will continue as he so demands. And I need to walk by faith. So here's this old man, no doubt discouraged, separated from those he loves, banished to this barren, lifeless island, working in the mines in his 80s. He's discouraged. I left everything for this? And he needed to be reminded. John. Yeah, John. I want you to know something, John. I am he who is. And don't you forget it. You may not understand this, John, but I've brought you to this barrenness to write a book of hope in the midst of chaos and to remind my children that no matter how bad it is, I still am in charge. and they just need to walk by faith and not by sight. Because one day it'll all make sense. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? All heads bowed and all eyes closed. I don't know what's happening in your world, but maybe you're a bit discouraged. Maybe you're a bit fearful. Maybe your little world's falling apart. I want to remind you that Jesus Christ still is in charge. If you're here this morning and you don't know this Christ, then you couldn't have this hope. But you can know this Christ. He came to save sinners like all of us. And we just have to come to that point where we cry out to him and say, "Oh God, forgive me. I have messed up. I'm a sinner. I'm a lousy sinner. But I realize there's salvation and it's found in Christ. And I want to put my faith and trust in him alone." And when you become a child of God, you can have this peace. You can have this hope. And if you have any questions about this, I would be glad to talk with you later. But those of you that are Christians, those of you that know Christ, those of you who say you believe in this word, regain your hope and your confidence in a living God who is still in control. Father, thank you for this morning and for the reminder. Thank you for the powerness of your word to change our lives, to convict us and to remind us of the confidence we need to have in you. And I pray that each of us here this morning have been reminded of your greatness and your mightiness, and maybe even a bit convicted because we lose heart so quickly. Oh, may we receive the hope and the excitement that John received as he heard these words. May our enthusiasm of the second coming of Christ be revised in our lives. Encourage us through your word. And Father, if I can be of any help to anyone here, please help them to feel confident and free enough to be able to come and share, that I might do all that I can to help them in their walk with you. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.